Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome, everybody, to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where to infinity and beyond, more like to infin-A-D and beyond, because the Lakers have Anthony Davis all locked up like Akon till 2028, thanks to his brand new 3-year extension. Also, Captain Austin Merica is very good. I am your host, Jonathan Hernandez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tommy Alexander. And after a little July hiatus, we are back feeling very refreshed and rejuvenated by all the little happenings that are going on in Lakersland. Tommy, how has your last couple of weeks gone for you? Are you starting to feel the swell of the new NBA season coming?
I'm not, actually. I think I'm just like, obviously people know, you know, or maybe people don't know. I've been distracted with personal life things this year, so it's sure. Like life has just been passing by so fast, but it is exciting. I occasionally have all of a sudden hit this stretch where I haven't had time to follow it. I guess this is a good time. This is normally like the time of the off season that drags the most for me. It's like after right. The draft, after summer league, you know, a few weeks after summer league when things have sort of settled down and free agency has settled down and it's like quiet on the rumor front, and there's this like 2-month gap until like training camp starts, and it's always kind of brutal to get through that, but it's been flying by. I'm excited, man. I think like in a month, right, as like training camp is starting, or as of, you know, when we're recording this. So it's I guess in that sense I am getting pretty excited, but it's been busy but good because it's distracting me. So
yeah, this is your reprieve from your crazy busy-ass life. And we also have a FIBA basketball play as well, so hopefully Austin Reeves continues to ball out.
That's right.
Tommy, a lot has changed since we last talked, though. Twitter is no longer called Twitter, but some weird Vin Diesel porno fusion of a website, X. LeBron James formally stated that, fortunately for all of us, the time for him to hang up his basketball cape is not now, so he will be back next year, officially. As I mentioned, Austin Reeves is currently balling out with Team USA in FIBA play. And Christian Wood, well, he's still unsigned. So that part hasn't changed one bit. But outside of that, a lot has happened in the last 2 or 3 weeks. None more important, though, than the two-way signing of Alex Fudge, but also Anthony Davis. So, as you all know, Anthony Davis has signed a new 3-year, $177 million contract that should take him up to the 2027-28 season, in which he has a player option. So that goes to, or that contract is about $60 million a year averaged out annually. And this will cover Anthony Davis's age 32, 33, and 34 seasons starting in 2025-26 when his last contract ends. And yeah, to me, this is another sign of the Lakers holding true to their word that they take care of their stars. And for me, you know, I know there's like a sticker shock sort of deal here when people see the number of $60 million a year. But I feel like we were kind of prepped for this when we saw Desmond Bane get $60 million a year. You know, yeah. Like Tyrese Haliburton get $60 million a year. Yes, I know Anthony Davis is going to be older and he's going to be in his like early to mid 30s towards the tail end of this new extension. But to me, seeing him this past year and the accolades that he achieved even at age 29, to me this was sort of a no-brainer. And before you go and give your thoughts on this, I'll just really quickly run through AD's accolades in 2022-23. So Anthony Davis in the regular season averaged 26 points, 12.5 rebounds, 2.6 assists, 1.1 steals, 2 blocks on 56-26-78 shooting splits. Obviously you wish the 3-point shooting would be better, but you can't have it all. But with respect to those averages, Anthony Davis had a career-high rebounding year last year, 12.5 rebounds. His last highest rebounding year was in 2018-19 with the Pelicans when he averaged 12 rebounds. Also, Anthony Davis averaged a career-high shooting percentage last season at 56%, which is way above his normal field goal percentage average, where he's typically shot around 50%, and his last highest, he shot around 53% three other times in his career, but 56% is obviously a very big jump. And to me, the fact that he's doing this at year 29 is very encouraging because it kind of shows me that, yes, Anthony Davis is getting older. Yes, he's lost his explosiveness. Yes, he's lost his first step, but he could still also be getting better. It just may look different, you know? Also, with regards to his free throw shooting, it actually came back around this past season. 78% is the highest he shot from the stripe in the last 3 years. Last year, he shot 71%. The year before that, he shot 74%. So hopefully he can put it all together this upcoming year and bring back the three-point shooting and bring back the three-point efficiency. And then obviously this past playoffs, you guys already know, I don't have to spell it out for you, but Anthony Davis is coming off a tremendous Defensive Player of the Year playoff run where he averaged 23 points, 14 rebounds, which is a career playoff high, 2.6 assists, 1.4 steals, 3 blocks, a career playoff high, 3.4 blocks to be exact. And Anthony Davis led the entire playoffs in blocks and rebounds, even though he was ousted in the Western Conference Finals. And even though he left in the Western Conference Finals, he still led the entire playoffs in total blocks with 50 blocks through 16 games. The next highest block total was 34 blocks from Al Horford, who played 20 games. So Al Horford even played 4 more games than Anthony Davis, only had 34 blocks, Anthony Davis with 50 blocks. So with that all laid out for you, I mean, for me, it was easy. I was like, oh, this is a no-brainer. Yeah, it's 3 years. Yeah, Anthony Davis is going to be older. He does have injury and durability concerns. But to me, this made the most sense, regardless of whether or not you're already sort of forecasting injury doom towards the tail end of that contract. But yeah, what are your thoughts on the AD extension? And did you have any sort of sticker shock by it?
I didn't have any sticker shock. Look, it's a function of a annually rising salary cap and a max contract that's based off of percentage of the cap. Every year there's going to be a new all-time biggest contract from now, like until this they stop, right? We're like in this steady increase and there's going to be a jump even in a couple of years, right? But like there's going to be a new, it's like the quarterback thing. And if people are NFL fans, like every year there's a new quarterback who's the highest paid quarterback of all time. You know, it's just like, that's just how the salary cap works. I think just like for some people, maybe using an example from another team might help to level set a little bit, because I think like watching our own guys all year, year after year can cause a focus on these sort of low points. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard is 31 years old. And in 4 years with the Clippers, he's played in 161 out of 308 possible games. He's only been able to stay healthy in 2 out of their 4 playoff runs. And prior to joining the Clippers, he missed 22 games with the Raptors, and he missed 73 games, obviously, the prior year with the Spurs. He's in a similar boat contract-wise to AD in the sense that like him and actually Paul George too, right, are both eligible for extensions this summer. And if the Clippers have issues coming to terms on an extension with Kawhi Leonard, there will be a laundry list of teams lining up for the chance to pay this guy the maximum contract with the maximum amount of years. all you're doing with this kind of stuff, right? Injury is a risk with any player. Now, you can say AD is maybe slightly more injury prone, okay, than maybe your typical player. But all you're really paying for with these megastar type players, LeBron, AD, you know, on our team, and obviously like Jokic and Curry and like all these like megastar players in the league, is like the chance to be in the conversation at the end. We saw it this past year, right? We sort of limped into the playoffs. We had this poor roster. We had to really push to get the 7th seed. It's like people sort of take for granted what this team was able to do, like in those circumstances. Mm-hmm. But like, just having LeBron and AD is what carried us to the Western Conference Finals. You know, when we're talking about AD's extension, like he was already going to be on the books for this coming season, right? So we're tacking on 3 more years to that. So 4 years, let's count it 4 years total, including this season. We know 2 of those are going to be with LeBron. So for some reason, if something weird happens and we have to trade AD in the next couple of years, his trade value would theoretically be the highest during this like short-term period. And so like after that, what exactly are we worried about, right? We're talking about 2 more years of guaranteed money. 1 season post-LeBron, we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to expect us to be super competitive like immediately after LeBron anyway. And then after that, AD is an expiring contract. You know, so it's like, and then if you think about it, like, you know, what do you do with that expiring contract? Worst case scenario, someone is going to give you like 1 first-round pick or like 1 young player on a cheap contract or something for Anthony Davis, right? Someone, again, also trying to take a shot, like, okay, I only have to pay, yeah, I have to pay this guy $60 million, but it's for 1 season. If I've built up like a crew of young players on cheap contracts, like, maybe I'll take AD for a 1-year risk and try to make a championship run, right? Mm-hmm. I think like this is the normal life cycle of NBA assets. I think trying to time that now is how you end up with no stars. It, you know, and considering the possible outcomes here, I think the worst case scenario, like AD gets hurt, he doesn't end up playing a ton. Like, it's actually, it's not that bad, you know, kind of comparatively. Like, we're not talking, again, it's like when LeBron's on the team, LeBron's going to want his guy. 80's his guy. So half of this contract was going to happen anyway, at least 2 out of the 4 years. And I just don't think that it's like, the fact that people could get all worked up, it's like, I think what ends up happening, right, is like, people end up thinking about the number 60 and how that could be allocated to other players that currently exist in the league with their current contracts. And like, that's not how assets work. Like, we can't, oh, well, why would we pay 80, 60? We should just get Luka. Like, no. It's like, it like, you have to take what you have and what you can get. We traded all these first round picks and young players to get AD. We're going to keep him. We won a championship. We made the conference finals, you know, at least in 2 of his 4 years so far. Already the trade, you can make a strong argument, has paid itself off. And
oh yeah,
why would we let him walk at the end of this when we can like flip him back later in a few years and try? I'm not saying we're going to get something, but like, people are acting like AD is going to be like Roy Hibbert. And like, at the end of this contract, like, we're going to have to trade the 2nd round pick to dump him somewhere. Like, I'm not saying we're going to get like Jason Tatum for this guy, you know what I mean? But like, you can get like a future protected first, and then it's like you start replenishing those assets that you used to get him. And then it's like, then you really look back and it's like the whole trade really made a lot, even more sense. And so it's like, I think people get really bogged down in the injury stuff and ignore that there are so many teams in this league that would pay AD this contract. And it's sort of like, you know, on a much higher scale, like sort of like what happened with the Gabe Vincent thing. You could make an argument. Is he worth $11 million? Is he worth $9 million? Like $8 million? Like, you can make your arguments, right? But the reality is the Miami Heat were trying to pay him like $10 million. So if you want him, you have to pay him $11 million. You know, and it's the same thing with AD. It's like, someone is going to pay, not just even someone, most of the teams in the league, if they had cap space, would pay AD the max. So, you know, like, that's your market. You have to pay him the max to keep him, and we did. And I just, to me, again, it's a no-brainer. I just think that, you know, honestly, I feel like there's nothing else to talk about, so people need to question whether this was the right move. And it, to me, it just so clearly was. It feels like almost a waste of time to sort of bring it up.
For sure. And you kind of covered the asset valuation aspect of it, which I appreciate, and you outline the worst case scenario, which again isn't even a worst case scenario. And so to close this first segment, I want to focus more on AD as the basketball player and why he may actually I don't even want to use the word live up to this contract, because he already has lived up to even this extension that hasn't even occurred yet. But with regards to, if you're even just thinking about the post-LeBron years, right, you can argue about whether or not AD is enough. Obviously, he's not going to be enough. But if you're thinking long-term and looking at the guys who are already on this roster who are a little bit younger than AD, like Austin Reeves, you don't think having an Anthony Davis next to Austin Reeves will continue to help his development?
Right.
You know what I mean? Or having Max Christie's development, Max Christie with Anthony Davis, Jalen Hood-Schifino, if he's still here. Like, having Anthony Davis, you want to have, even if you don't think Anthony Davis is the star you want to build around in 2026, 27, because he's a big man, and usually you want a primary initiator in your number one spot as the, like, Batman to your team. You still want to have AD there as some sort of core pillar for your team. And maybe by that point, maybe Austin Reeves is the number one guy, you know? But AD is still there to help him out. And, you know, the comp that I used on Twitter that has actually gotten a lot of buzz is I kind of comped it to the San Antonio Spurs rebuild on the fly, you know, with Tim Duncan after David Robinson left. And, you know, you can easily make the comparison and the parallels between Anthony Davis and Tim Duncan, because Tim Duncan found a way to still be very effective towards the tail end of his career because he was a very skilled and smart player, which Anthony Davis is. He's going to lose that athleticism and explosiveness the same way Tim Duncan was a much more explosive player when he was younger in like 1998, 1996, when the Twin Towers thing was still a thing with him and David Robinson. But after the David Robinson era, the Spurs were able to rebuild on the fly with guys like Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Bruce Bowen, et cetera, because they still had Tim Duncan there. And if you look at Tim Duncan's career, actually, some of his best years came in years 30, 31, and 32. You know, technically, this is a player's prime, right?
Right.
And obviously, with Anthony Davis, there are a lot of caveats to that because we have seen him go down in multiple seasons, have seen him pile up all these injuries and stuff like that. But with regards to like the best case scenario of how I could see this playing out for the Lakers in the future and what they're trying to do to bridge the gap post LeBron, to me, this is also a no-brainer with regards to the basketball aspect of things and what Anthony Davis can provide this team. Because again, as I mentioned, he's not going to look as explosive, fast, or athletic as he did even 2 years ago or even the 2019-20 bubble championship. But I think what you are seeing is Anthony Davis continuing to get smarter. I mean, he averaged a career high 12.5 rebounds last year, right? Career high blocks. Like, he's getting smarter, he's getting better, and most of all, you're gaining more continuity with him, Austin Reeves, and whoever else is going to be part of that core moving forward. Maybe Max Christie, a tier below that. You got Rui Hachimura, maybe Vanderbilt if we extend him, Maxwell Lewis, JHS, whoever you want to include in that crop. Just making sure that Anthony Davis is at the center of that point at least ensures that you will not be a lottery team in those years. Maybe you would want to be a lottery team if we end up being middling, but at least you have a starting off point with which to work from, and it's a really good starting off point. So any closing thoughts on just Anthony Davis and what he can bring in this like light at the end of the tunnel, end of his career, but also what he can bring to the team as a core centerpiece to maybe usher in the next generation, even though it does sound scary to be like, oh, he's going to be 33, 34.
Yeah, it's, I mean, he just brings so much defensively. Even if he doesn't do anything offensively, let's say he falls off the face of the earth. Now, mind you, this guy's like a career 52% from the field. He obviously operates close to the basket and takes like mostly high percentage shots. So maybe field goal percentage is not the right thing to look at. But like, let's say his scoring, you know, drops off the map. He's only scoring 20 a game. You know, he's back down to like his second year in the league sort of numbers. He still gives, like you mentioned, the rebounding, like that's going, if as long as he's playing the center, that's going to continue to be high. He's getting the shot blocks. He's getting the steals. Most importantly, he's anchoring everything, right? So it's like you mentioned all these young guards we have and like young forwards we have. Like, again, if you're thinking about the 1 year, and this is, again, by the way, assuming LeBron just decides to either leave or just hang it up after his the only 2 years he's currently under contract for, for that 1 year, I don't care if we're a lottery team. It's going to be a weird rebuildy type of year anyway. It's but like to your point, like we still have guys that we're trying like are going to be part of the next phase, the like post LeBron, post AD phase. There's going to be a phase, you know, we're going to get another player eventually. How do you attract a player to like your team is having a good core in place, right? It's scary for a guy to come and be like, okay, like this team has won 20 games the last 2 years. You know, the guys are all burnt out. Like none of these young guys have talent. They haven't learned the right ways to win and play properly. I'm a good player, but I'm not good enough to flip this team 40 games. You know what I mean? So like yeah. You have to have some sort of foundation so that a guy who's a free agent and is looking at your team can easily see how he can slot in and maybe elevate this team from like a 30 win team to a 40 win team, a 40 win team to a 50 win team, et cetera. Right. It's like, those are important things as we've seen in free agency. It's like, we saw this too at the end of Kobe's run. Like, it's not the case anymore that LA is the number one free agent destination. The number one free agent destination is like wherever the money is. So, and it's like a global league, et cetera, et cetera. Like you're going to get your exposure anywhere. So, you know, it's not, we need to also stay competitive. We can't just like be shipping out assets and having 20 win seasons and 60 win seasons and 20 win seasons, 60 win, like that model, like it may have worked at some point, but it's not going to work anymore. And I think, you know, sort of this signing fits with everything else this front office has done, which has been like a forward thinking kind of mindset of like, how are we going to build a culture of winning, sort of like what the Spurs did, making the playoffs 20 years in a row. Like, that's what our model is trying to accomplish. Who knows if it's going to work, but like I think getting AD locked in is a really good start in that direction.
And also, even when LeBron James retires in maybe 2 years, by that point you have like year 5 Austin Reeves, like year 4 Max Christie. Like, I actually would push back on the fact that they'd be a fringe lottery team, because
yeah.
I feel like the Lakers have set themselves up way better than they have in the past, where I feel like the most similar sort of scary contract that you could equate this to was maybe when the Lakers extended Powell in 2011 to a 3-year, $57 million extension. And at the time, that was a no-brainer as well. But then Kobe blew out his Achilles a year after that, and that threw a wrench into everything, and Powell became less and less necessary in this all of a sudden rebuild scenario for the Lakers, right? And it was the Lakers' mistake to just let him walk and get nothing for him.
Right.
But which is why I'm saying the reason why that ended up going wrong was because Kobe blew out his Achilles. They weren't expecting to rebuild in that situation, you know?
Right.
And so Powell just ended up like left there with Ryan Kelly and Nick Young all of a sudden, you know what I mean? But what I'm trying to say is like the Lakers are getting out ahead of all of that, you know? Yeah. They're anticipating for Kobe to blow out his Achilles in the sense that LeBron James is going to retire and leave us, you know? But when that happens, they're going to have, look, in AD's second to last year before that player option, you could potentially have a core of 33-year-old Anthony Davis, 28-year-old Austin Reeves hitting his prime, 23-year-old Max Christie, 28-year-old Rui Hachimura, and then potentially 23-year-old JHS, 24-year-old Maxwell Lewis. To me, the future is still bright, and that's assuming, that's not even taking into account that there are free agency years before that, that the Lakers could continue to use to build up that core in anticipation of that moment, right? So for me, the future is very bright with this Anthony Davis extension, and I'm excited. We're just all crossing our fingers for continued health, and hopefully, just like Tim Duncan, I hope Anthony Davis can continue to find ways to be smarter about the way he uses his body, the way he treats the offseason, finding ways to gain that longevity and durability that Tim Duncan was able to find in the latter end of his career. And it's, look, maybe it's going to look less exciting and more plotting, but you know, it doesn't matter because Anthony Davis can help a team in so many different ways, offensively and defensively. Maybe we end up seeing Anthony Davis turn into more of a Brook Lopez towards the end of his career, right? But that is still very valuable when you have up-and-coming guys like Austin Reeves, Max Christie, whoever else. You know, we also have first-round draft picks coming up in those years as well. So, Yeah, with that said, I mean, Anthony Davis extension, we love it. We have no complaints. Let's go. To infinity and beyond we go. Let's take it to break. When we return, let's close this episode out and talk about Mr. Austin Reeves, who is currently playing for Team USA. So we will catch you guys after the turn.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, quick call to action for yours truly, the Lakers Legacy Podcast. If you just enjoy consuming our content, please, please, please take a moment to rate and review us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast app. Also, please take a moment to give us a 5-star thumb tap on the Spotify app. Just search for the Lakers Legacy Podcast on the Spotify app and click that 5-star dial at the top of our page. It's that easy to do. We would greatly appreciate it. It will do a lot in determining the future of the show moving forward, especially as we head into the 2023-24 season. It would mean a lot. And again, at this point, it's the only thing that drives this show. With that said, thank you for consuming our content and please enjoy the rest of the show. All right, we are back. Tommy, kind of a sidetrack question for you, but does your son Miles watch any television yet?
He doesn't really have the attention span, but he could, there's some YouTube stuff that he could focus on for like 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh yeah. YouTube is the go-to for kids at that age. Well, when he turns about 2 or 3, make sure to have him check out DreamWorks Dewdrop Diaries on Netflix. Okay. Because that's the show that I wrote on during the pandemic.
Oh, and fantastic.
If you have little kids, particularly little girls, please check that out. Stream it in the background a million times over. Help us get a season 2. And at the very least, check out episode 21, Chore Score. That's the episode that I solely wrote on. I technically wrote on every single episode since I was assisting the showrunner in all things writing, but that was the main episode that I pitched and solely wrote on from start to finish. It is about a girl getting her allowance for the first time and putting it in a piggy bank and losing a coin. So that's all I'll give you with regards to spoiler alerts. But yeah, if you have little girls or just kids in general, check out DreamWorks Dewdrop Diaries on Netflix. Help us out. We want a season 2. And yeah, catch your boy's name in the credits, by the way. Anyway, personal promo stuff out of the way. Let's get back to talking about the Lakers and particularly Austin Reeves. So as you all know, currently Austin Reeves is playing for Team USA in the FIBA... I'm not even sure what you call it right now. FIBA Championships? This is before the... When's the next Olympics?
Next year, dog.
Next year. Oh, my bad. I'm so out of the loop. But yeah, they're playing for... Austin Reeves is playing for Team USA. I'll leave it at that. But what I want to talk about is...
In some capacity.
What I want to talk about... I want to talk about Austin Reeves with regards to this upcoming season and what this Team USA stint may do for his third year. Because on the one hand, you could make your argument that Austin Reeves really had a standout sophomore year, and he did. But I think there you can make the argument that this third year will be his biggest test yet, because after the outstanding playoff performance he had, where he was literally the Lakers' third best player, unquestionably, that the whole league is tired of hearing about Austin Reeves. And they will be so honed in on him next year that you wonder whether a regression is coming and whether Austin Reeves at 25 years old can make another leap on top of that. And that's what we're going to be debating today or just assessing. So to quickly look back on Austin Reeves' 2022-23 season, in the regular season, Austin averaged 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3.4 assists on 53% from the field, 39.8% from 3, essentially 40% from 3, hitting 1.3 threes a game, 86% from the stripe. I caveat those stats with the fact that in the first half of the season, Austin Reeves wasn't a focal point of our offense, right? Because Russell Westbrook was still on the team. So those averages rise even further when you look at the second half of his season. Now, the playoffs is probably a better indication of what Austin Reeves with real usage and a real primary role looks like. And the fact that he excelled from top to bottom is nothing short of amazing. In the playoffs, Austin averaged 17 points, 4.4 rebounds, 4.6 assists on 46% from the field, 44% from three, hitting 2.4 a game, 89% from the stripe. So while his field goal percentage dropped from 53 to 46, his three-point percentage rose from 39-40% to 44%, and then his volume of threes rose from 1.3 to 2.4. And that's what's really encouraging to me about those numbers, outside of the fact that 17, 4, and 5 is ridiculous. But yeah, he's 25 years old. He's already done some otherworldly things, context considered, of where he was drafted and how his journey in the NBA has gone thus far. But yeah, what are your thoughts on Austin Reeves coming into year three? Are you a little bit worried about that Linsanity effect, in the sense that when Linsanity went on his huge run, by the time he faced like some of the upper echelon teams like the Miami Heat, their sole focus was to lock Lin down? And I'm not comparing Austin Reeves to Jeremy Lin, because obviously Austin Reeves has done this for a longer amount of time, but I feel like last year, and especially the playoffs, was the first time the whole league turned their eyes and sights to Austin Reeves in an almost, is this dude an all-star sort of capacity? And this third year, this next year, is going to be the true test for him. But having seen what I've seen from his play, and even just the short clips and flashes we've seen from FIBA, I am not that worried about Austin Reeves at all. And if giving him more usage is any indication, and the fact that he became just as efficient and even more efficient in some respects, and when you turn the limelight on him and the lights got brighter, he rose to those moments in the playoffs. I don't know. I am not that worried about... I'm sure there's going to be a regression in maybe the percentages and the fact that teams will be scouting him a lot heavier. But given everything that Austin has shown us as a player, and how smart he is, how he continues to grow, like week by week, year by year, I'm still expecting very big things from him. And I think this upcoming season, we could see what he put up in the playoffs, especially if the Lakers continue to groom him in this primary initiator role and give him more on-ball opportunities as they did in the playoffs. So I could see him still averaging this whole entire 82-game season this upcoming year, 17 points, 4 rebounds, maybe more like 3.5 assists. And maybe his percentages go to 45 and 38% from three. But I still think that's totally fine. But yeah, what are your thoughts on Austin Reeves and his upcoming year? And whether or not we may be... Like, yeah, have we just... Was last year his ceiling? Or is there still more to come for Austin Reeves, in your opinion?
I think there's a lot more to come. I mean, here the thing... And maybe I'm too high on Reeves, honestly. But I have been since his rookie season. I mean, frankly, I thought... With all the injuries during his rookie season to LeBron and AD, and given the rest of our roster makeup, Austin was legitimately our third best player, in my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. After LeBron and AD. Like, he appeared in 61 games. Obviously, at the beginning of the season, it wasn't always the heaviest minutes. But putting aside the stats, you could just kind of... You could tell that this guy could play basketball. It felt like almost... I mean, we've seen it with, like... with other young guys who've come through, right? We've had a lot of Kyle Kuzma in the summer league. Like, you weren't sure if he was going to be able to maintain that, like, level of production that he did during the summer league his first year, and like during his rookie season when our team was a lotto team and he was, you know, jacking up shots. But like, you could tell this guy is an NBA player, and he has proven that, right, over the years. Same thing with Caruso, same thing with guys like Larry Nance. Like, Austin Reeves came in and from the very beginning clearly was an NBA player. The question I had, I think, was answered last season, which was with more reps and with more on-ball responsibility and with more minutes, basically generally increased volume in all categories, would he be able to maintain his efficiency? And he, like, not only maintained, but, like, you know, improved his efficiency in pretty much all categories. From first to second year, his shooting percentage went up 6%. His overall percentage, right? His three-point shooting percentage went up over 8%. His free throw shooting percentage went up. He doubled his assists. Like, you know, obviously he was playing a lot more with the ball in his hands, but he made those leaps. And then when we went to the playoffs, again, like looking to see how does somebody's production get cut when the bright lights are on and everyone is like, it's like, forget the regular season of 82 games, you know, half these games, teams are coming off back-to-backs or teams are coming off 4 games in 5 nights and, you know, some guys aren't taking it seriously, you know, whatever, right? It's like you're playing, you played 16 games solely against, you know, among the best teams in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. And you read off the numbers, right? His efficiencies, again, maybe the field goal percentage went slightly down without the getting as many fouls in later rounds, but like free throw percentage, he was like 90%. You know what I mean? He like, and he upped all his efficiency. He upped his assists while keeping his turnovers like the same as they were during the regular season. He upped his scoring. I mean, this guy can just play basketball. It's like, and then now you see, like you mentioned the clips with FIBA. You know, he's doing things we saw him do, but he looks even more fluid. I mean, it's just like you're seeing...
And more confident. He looks like Devin Booker out there doing like forearm shivers into step back, pull up off the dribble jump shots. And I'm like, oh,
well, okay. It's just like interesting, right? Because it's like you, I think like what you get used to as an NBA fan is like seeing these high lotto picks who come into the league so raw, right? And then like they... The player they are as a first-year player versus the player they are as a fourth-year player. It's like you, if you watch the film, you could like barely understand that this is the same guy. With Austin Reeves, it's like the opposite, right? He came in as an undrafted, like older player. You kind of already saw what he could do. It's just he took everything that he does and refined it so well that like he is elite at so many of these things now. I mean, you mentioned like the Devin Booker, like mid-range pull-ups, like he's got so many things in his bag. He's not just like a three-point shooter. He's not just like, I need the ball in my hands. He could play with the ball in his hands. He could play without the ball in his hands. He can cut. He can finish around the basket. He can make plays for himself, make plays for teammates. I mean, you can't stop this guy, really. And I know that sounds crazy to say.
You can.
But you can. I mean, because like, what are you? So what? You take away his scoring? He's going to figure out how to pass. You overplay him on the perimeter? He's going to back cut you and create problems on the, and like the interior of your defense. Like, he's so smart and he showed that he can do this playing, again, not just a high volume of games, playing a high volume of minutes. And being a focal point of the offense. I mean, everybody saw, like, in the Memphis series, game one of the playoffs, Austin Reeves' first playoff game, and LeBron is standing in the corner while Austin Reeves, like, runs the offense and wins us the game. You know? Yeah. So, like, it's just, like, this is, like, why even when we were discussing if someone poison pills this guy, match it? And we were both sort of, like... Even if someone literally gives this guy a max contract, I would still match it because in 3 years, what, he's making $30 million? But like, he is like one of the best players in his entire class, and those guys will also be getting paid that much. So, yeah. Well, luckily, we didn't have to do that, but like, I just don't, it's like crazy. He's so good, and I think
he looks like Manu Ginobili out there. That is like, you know, we've thrown that comp around willy-nilly, kind of like half-heartedly laughing and stuff, like, but that is literally the most apt comp, and the more and more I see him, because he's taken some of his innate basketball on ball creation skills that he already had, but as you're seeing him get more usage and get more time with like these bigger stars like LeBron James and Anthony Davis and get more used to the NBA speed, you're seeing him become more decisive, clean up some of his messiness that he had, some of his like loose handle stuff, Jordan Poole like tendencies. And man, once you mentioned it, he's starting to refine his game, plus add the confidence and decisiveness in his movements. And when you get that, that's Manu Ginobili. He's so crafty out there, but I've never seen a combo of craftiness and skill and herky jerkiness while still also sort of being hard-nosed and physical the way Austin is, because he still likes to draw contact and absorb bodies, right, and get and ones and all this stuff. So he's such an interesting player because, like you mentioned, you think you've got him on one end and he'll just run right through your body, you know, because he's not afraid of contact. Because usually when you think of herky-jerky, skilled, crafty players, you don't also associate them with being dudes who will just ram right into the defense and try and get an and one, you know? So
you think of like Trae Young and Steve Nash and like these types of guys, right? But like Austin Reeves is like that, but bigger and stronger. I think like the peer reviews he's getting also speak volumes. Like D'Angelo Russell, it just, and Pat Bev are not known for being guys to be like, maybe Pat Bev, I shouldn't throw him in here. Certainly D'Angelo Russell is not known for being a guy, especially, you know, going like coming off a contract year, like just signed a contract that he probably feels is below his market. And part of that is due to the fact that we have Austin Reeves already, and we have someone who could sort of fill that backcourt void for us. And notwithstanding all, like, the natural inherent competition that that would like pull out of somebody, D'Angelo Russell has nothing but amazing things to say about this.
Yeah.
Okay, he loves this guy. He's not just like, he's a great teammate. He's like, this guy can actually like really, really play basketball. And I'm just like really, really excited about Austin. I think another thing, by the way, that's going to help him this season maintain his efficiency and even continue to like elevate his game further is for 75 or 70% of the season last year. Yeah, we needed Austin to hit some threes and we needed him to do some things on offense, but we mainly needed him as like a perimeter defensive player, like, because our perimeter defense was so poor last year, you know, for most of the season. Obviously, we got Vanderbilt, who's returning. That's going to help a lot. We picked up Gabe Vincent. That's going to help a lot. Torian Prince can defend. Cam Reddish, you know, has some upside on that end. There are other guys who are going to be able to play some defense. I think, like, you know, by the time we got to the Nuggets and, like, we were asking, like, LeBron was playing on one leg, like, D'Angelo sort of faded away. Like, we were asking Austin to be our best player on both
and
ends.
He was. Like, he averaged 25 and 5 on 50% on both field goals and threes. But yeah, you're right. He couldn't expend himself on the defensive end as well.
Exactly. So. And he was like dying by the time we got to the end of that series, right? So like the nice thing now is we have other options for him. And so like he can be his best self on both sides. Like I'm not saying he's going to take the defensive side off, because that is a big part of what he brings. But like, He will have the energy to do both this year that I don't think he necessarily had for most of, I say last season, but honestly, most of the last two seasons. Like Austin Reeves as a summer league, like signing or whatever, undrafted rookie free agent as a first year player was one of our best defensive players as a rookie. So like, you know, he can do those things and it's a big part of what he does. But yeah, I'm not really worried about the efficiency. He seems to be getting in better and better shape. And the guy is just a competitor, right? Like, I'm not a golfer myself, but, like, he's constantly talking about golf and, like, you know, how much he likes to be out there and, like, competing. And, like, that's, like, his favorite off-court activity, right? Which is, like, a good sign because, you know, he's just, like, in all aspects of his life probably maintaining this, like, competitive nature. And, yeah, it's, like, when he is on the court, it is crazy. This guy has no fear. It's, like, funny you bring the Linsanity thing, like, the Linsanity comp, because that is another case of a guy where you just look at him and you're, like, how do you have no fear? You know what I mean? Out there. And, like, yeah, Austin, I think the big thing, right, is he's done it for a couple seasons and in the playoffs already. But you get that same sense. It's, like, this guy is out there sharing a court with LeBron and AD on his own team. You know, a bunch of other vets, a bunch of other talented guys his age and a few years older, against like the most elite competition in the NBA. And he's just like, nah, I'm as good as these guys. Like, it's so rare to find something like that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there is going to be an adjustment period when the season starts and everybody's honing in on Austin as the quote unquote third guy. But I think Austin Reeves should be able to weather that storm. So even if there is a little bit of a rough patch where he has more turnovers, his efficiency is down. I think you also can't overlook and underrate the Western Conference Finals bump coupled with the Team USA bump.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many times have we talked about like, oh, Anthony Davis just won the championship. He's going to get that championship bump, or Kuzma is going to get that championship bump. What has the finals done for Alex Caruso's career, right? Like,
right.
These players who come off of these long runs, the next season, they typically end up maintaining that momentum,
yeah.
You know? And the fact that Austin has the Western Conference Finals bump where he was the best player outside of Anthony Davis and LeBron James, where he averaged 25 and 5 on 50-50, I believe, okay? So he's coming off this Western Conference Finals run, And then you're coupling it with Team USA play, where he's amongst pretty much other all-stars in his age range.
Yeah.
And he's holding up with them and maybe even going to be in the starting lineup. Like, that is going to do so much for him coming into next season, that even if he faces stiffer defenses and may even get some double teams and whatnot, I think he'll be able to, it'll level out. You know what I mean? And the last thing I'll say is my hot take slash prediction for Austin Reaves, Tommy, is I think he has a good shot of winning Most Improved Player of the Year next year, especially given the fact that it sounds like the Lakers want to give him the ball more. And if he's able to even just semi-replicate the statistical jump he made from the regular season to the playoffs, where it was 13 points to 17 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists with relatively high efficiency from the two-point land, but three-point-wise, he's like 40% on high volume. If he can even just make that statistical jump, but do it for a full 82-game regular season, and the Lakers are a top-four team in the West, and he is unquestionably the third-best player on this team, I could see him being a Most Improved Player contender.
No, I 100% agree. And again, a big part of this is like, his usage is, notwithstanding everything we just said, his usage is not that high, you know, which is crazy because he makes such a big impact. But you mentioned the 17 points a game. That was on 12 shot field goal attempts per game. It's not like this dude is taking 15, 20 shots a game. And it's like, well, where is he going to get those shots with AD and LeBron and D'Lo and whatever? Like, the nice thing about Austin is he can be the third best guy, but he doesn't even need, it's not like he's Bradley Beal, like in that Sun situation. Like, he just needs to be the third best guy most nights. If he has an off night, D'Angelo Russell is there. He's like a borderline, like, all-star type player, right? Like, yeah. Rui Hachimura can score. Like, there's other guys. Gabe Vincent is there. He can get hot sometimes. Like, there are other guys around who can, like, sort of fill in. But yeah, you know, I like the FIBA bump too that you mentioned. I forgot to mention, obviously, like, we saw it obviously in our own past a decade or so ago plus with Lamar Odom. I can't remember when exactly he did it, if it was before the first championship or in between the two or when it was, but, like, you know, he was even later in his career than Austin, and you saw the impact when he came back for the beginning of the season. Like, he just looked like a more decisive player, and I think Austin will see that as well.
Yeah, so the future is looking bright for this upcoming season and the upcoming seasons after that with Anthony Davis and Austin Reaves. So I feel like that's a perfect episode to talk about those two core main pieces on this Lakers team and franchise moving forward. So with that said, that'll do it for this episode. We will catch you guys next time. Please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. Please also rate and review us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast app or on the Spotify app as well. Just search up Lakers Legacy on the Spotify app and click that 5-star dial on the left-hand side of our page. And with that said, Tommy, let's go watch some more Austin Reaves in a Team USA jersey. I will catch you later.
Peace.
See ya.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.